Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Are we
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Diddy has straight up terrorized some of the biggest rappers in the game, and he's been getting away with it for years.
You're going to hear about my party. They're going to be shutting them down. They're going to probably be arresting me, doing all types of crazy things just because we want to have a good time.
In the last 18 months, Sean Diddy Combs has experienced an epic downfall. From being celebrated as one of hip-hop's most successful businessmen to being charged with a slew of heinous crimes, Diddy has been exposed in ways nobody thought was even possible. But with Diddy's trial just weeks away, fans have been taking a closer look at the rappers who Diddy outright victimized, sometimes even in plain sight. That's why we're doing a rundown of every single rapper that Diddy has threatened over the course of his career. And it's safe to say that your favorite artist might just be on this list. What's the backstory on Diddy allegedly having a Grammy Award-winning artist's car blown up? How did Diddy menace every single rapper in the so-called Big Three? And why did Diddy's alleged assault on music superstar nearly lead to an all-out war with one of the industry's most terrorizing power brokers? We've even searched through decades of behind-the-scenes gossip, court transcripts, and long-lost interviews to give you the most complete picture of how Diddy not only destroyed one rapper's career, but also sent that man to prison for damn near over a decade. And with Diddy's Fed case right around the corner, is this list only gonna get longer, or will the cover-up of Diddy's alleged crimes only continue?
I don't know what you're talking about.
In November of 2023, Diddy's ex Cassie Ventura opened the floodgates when she sued the bad boy mogul for years of abuse. But her lawsuit also included a shocking story about Kid Cudi. In the lawsuit, Cassie painstakingly documented tons of allegations against Diddy that included assault and sex trafficking. She also claimed that Diddy was intensely controlling, violent, and jealous throughout their 11-year on-and-off-again relationship. The lawsuit described a specific story about how Cassie briefly dated Kid Cudi during a breakup with Diddy in 2011. And when Diddy found out, he allegedly went insane. According to the suit, Diddy went through Cassie's phone and found emails between her and Kid Cudi. Diddy became enraged and proceeded to place a manual corkscrew between his fingers and lunged at Miss Ventura. Cassie, obviously terrified, fled to Kid Cudi's house for safety. But in the lawsuit, Cassie describes how Diddy had an extensive network of enforcers to carry out his bidding and that she felt she could never fully escape. Cassie says that she was pretty much made to return to Diddy and that he hit her several times. The lawsuit specifically says that Cassie's parents took photographic evidence of the bruises Diddy left on her to back up her claims. But during Paris Fashion Week of 2012, Diddy allegedly told Cassie that he was going to blow up Kid Cudi's car and that he wanted to ensure that Kid Cudi was home with his friends when it happened. And around the same time, Cudi's car actually did explode in his driveway. Of course, Diddy's lawyer denied all the allegations, but Kid Cudi backed up Cassie's story completely. He released a statement to the New York Times saying, quote, "This is all true." A recently uncovered report from the LA Fire Department from 2012 corroborates both Cassie and Kid Cudi's story. According to the report, a Porsche owned by Cudi was set on fire by an incendiary device on January 9th of 2012, causing an estimated $10,000 in damage. The report even says the fire was, quote, intentional. It also seems like the alleged arson attack on Cudi might be a significant part of Diddy's upcoming trial. While the prosecutors didn't explicitly name Cudi, they described in a letter to the court that co-conspirators of Diddy set the car on fire by slicing open the car's convertible top and and dropping a Molotov cocktail inside. Prosecutors even say they had multiple witnesses lined up to testify about the incident, including that Diddy allegedly, quote, bragged about his role in destroying the car. But when you dig a little deeper, the story only seems to get darker. The feds also say that in December of 2011, Diddy and one of his henchmen allegedly kidnapped someone at gunpoint in order to break into a house. Just weeks later, Diddy was allegedly involved in torching that same victim's car. While the victim in the story isn't named in legal documents either, all the evidence seems to point in Kid Cudi's direction, especially since the prosecutor's claims line up with Cassie's story about being pressured by Diddy's so-called enforcers. While details are still surfacing, it sounds a lot like Diddy might have targeted Cassie and Cudi in an alleged kidnapping attempt. Keep in mind that this was at a point in time where Cudi was a Grammy Award-winning artist who was signed to Kanye's label Good Music. Despite those high-level industry connections, it apparently wasn't enough to protect him from Diddy's alleged wrath. In fact, sources claim that Diddy delivered a full-fledged beatdown to another high-profile rapper just a year after this alleged incident.
I'm going to take your souls. We have the power. We decide what's hot. If we don't go, nobody goes.
In August of 2013, rumors surfaced that Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Diddy were involved in a very public altercation at a VMA's after party in New York City. According to multiple witnesses, tensions were high because of Kendrick's inflammatory verse on the song Control. In his verse, Kendrick vowed to murder every rapper who might be considered competition and mentioned a whole bunch of them by name. Drake, J. Cole, Tyler the Creator, and A$AP Rocky were just some of the rappers who Kendrick called out on the song. But Kendrick only added fuel to the fire when he declared himself the King of New York.
I'm the King of New York, King of the Coast. One hand, I juggle them both.
It's safe to say that a lot of New York artists weren't happy about an LA rapper bragging about being the so-called king of their city. And Diddy was apparently one of them. Witnesses say that a visibly intoxicated Diddy confronted Kendrick at the after party and tried to pour a drink on him. J. Cole allegedly intervened to stop Diddy from disrespecting Kendrick, but that's where went crazy. An all-out fight broke out between Cole, Diddy, and their respective crews. Even crazier, though, is that an all-star lineup of industry royalty watched this fight go down, including Rihanna, Beyonce, and J. Cole's own label boss, Jay-Z. In the aftermath of the fight, both Cole and Diddy downplayed what happened that night. Cole's manager, Ibrahim Hamad, denied that the artist had gotten whooped at the after party, tweeting, quote, "The internet is a crazy place where reporting with no facts, Cole get thrown out of no party, and he damn sure ain't get beat up." Diddy chimed in to say, quote, "We are friends, the rumors are not true, we had a great party." But Punch, the president of Kendrick's then label TDE, went on the record to talk about exactly what transpired that night. In interviews, Punch denied that Cole was defending Kendrick, but added a crazy detail. That night, Diddy supposedly threatened to slash J. Cole's throat.
He's like, "Yeah, and if you ever say what you said to me earlier, and he grabbed a bottle from the table because he got all of the alcohol joints. And he said, "What you gonna do? Hit me on my head with a bottle?" He's like, "Nah, I'm gonna break it on the table. I'm gonna cut your throat."
And damn near 8 years later, J. Cole finally confirmed the story on his 2021 song, "Let Go My Hand." Quote, "My last scrap was with Puff Daddy. Who would have thought it? I bought that nigga album in seventh grade and played it so much. You would have thought my favorite rapper was Puff. Back then, I ain't no shit. Now I know too much." Cole was clearly ready to put the bad blood between him and Diddy aside because he even enlisted Diddy to say a prayer on the song's outro.
"Lord, please guide our steps. Watch us."
A month after Let Go My Hand dropped, Cole and Diddy posted a video of them joking around and recreating their infamous fight and piecing it up with one another. The one person who remained silent about the whole altercation was Kendrick Lamar. Despite the persistent rumors that Cole and Diddy threw hands over Kendrick's King of New York claim, he never made any public comment about that night. But if Kendrick had any lingering personal resentment towards Diddy, it looks like he may have buried it. Because in 2018, he gave Diddy a shout out while accepting the Grammy for the Best Rap Album.
"I got a lot of guys in this building right now that I still idolize to this day. Jay-Z, Nas, Puff."
Any way you cut it, Diddy was wild enough to squabble up with two of the big three in one night. Drake, on the other hand, had to face Diddy's wrath one-on-one just a year later.
Well, you talked about how you found out that they're trying to set up Drake in LA at one point. What exactly was that about?
In December of 2014, news broke that Diddy and Drake were involved in a brawl outside a Miami nightclub. While initial reports claimed that Drake had said something disrespectful about Cassie, who Diddy was still with at the time, sources later alleged that the two artists had an issue over a song Drake had put out called 0 to 100.
Being on some chill shit, we go 0 to 100. Real quick.
In a video unearthed by TMZ, Diddy accused Drake of stealing the song from him. Insiders say that Diddy wanted Drake to ghostwrite the song for him, only for Drake to say f*** all that and jack the song for himself.
I gave this to this stole this shit from me, but at the end of the day, it's still hard. Play that shit.
But once 0 to 100 got nominated for multiple Grammy Awards, let's just say that Diddy was feeling a lot less charitable. Drake was attending a party hosted by DJ Khaled at Miami's Fontainebleau nightclub when Diddy dispatched his security to tell Drake to come outside. When Diddy got outside the club, witnesses watched as Diddy smacked the living hell out of him. Apparently, Diddy punched out Drake and then headed right back inside the club to keep partying. When you think about it, it's kind of like how Will Smith slapped Chris Rock and then went up to give a speech right after. Drake, on the other hand, did not go 0 to 100 at all. He packed up and went straight to the hospital. A magazine editor who saw the whole thing said, quote, "Drake definitely got the shit kicked out of him. I heard they were taking him to the hospital." Rick Ross's DJ, Sam Sneak, also saw the altercation go down and tweeted, quote, "Drake's at the hospital, SMH, he dislocated his shoulder." But while Drake may have turned tail after Diddy snuffed him, his OGs were ready to step in on his behalf. Just weeks after Drake was hospitalized, Jay Prince, the CEO of Houston's Rap-A-Lot Records, released an audio recording to TMZ called Courtesy Call, where he flat out threatened Diddy's entire family. Quote, "You awakened a sleeping giant, let me bully n***as on notice. Puffy feeling like he can put his hands on my family, opens the door for his family to be touched." We've already done a comprehensive breakdown on Jay Prince's association with Drake and his well-documented underworld ties. Let's just say that Jay Prince has long been seen as one of the biggest boogeyman in the rap game, and that him stepping in to defend Drake from Diddy was a major power move. Quote, "You know I ride with Drake, I'm your worst nightmare." Drake stayed silent about his altercation with Diddy until 2016 when he dropped the song 4PM in Calabasas. The track is full of subliminal disses against the bad boy mogul. Quote, "Don't push me cause I'm way too uneasy nowadays, these guys move so greasy nowadays." It's safe to say that Jay Prince vowing to protect Drake gave him enough confidence to finally fire back at Diddy. But in 2024, Kendrick Lamar used Drake's feud with Diddy as ammo on his song Euphoria, even calling out Drake's bodyguard Chubbs for failing to protect him that night. Quote, "You gonna make a nigga bring back Puff, let me see if Chubbs really crash some." There's even been conspiracy theories that the avalanche of recent lawsuits targeting Diddy might be tied back to Jay Prince. Joseph Big Joe Sherman, Diddy's former bodyguard, alleged in an interview that Prince might be pulling some strings behind the scenes. Quote, "After listening to people explain the situation to me, I think Jay Prince is one of the main culprits behind trying to destroy Puffy's character." Anyway, you look at it, Diddy's very public violation of Drake just shows the level of wildness this dude was on. But when you look back even further, Diddy was on full-on demon time with even some of the most respected rappers in the game.
I got my MTV out. Savage! I'm a savage! Oh!
In 1999, Nas and Diddy teamed up for the single Hate Me Now, and the song charted on the Hot 100, and Nas hired famed director Hype Williams to make their music video. And that's where things got super dicey. The Hate Me Now music video was controversial because it featured scenes of Nas and Diddy being crucified. Even though Diddy filmed some of his scenes on the cross, he later objected to the material and demanded that the footage be removed from the final cut. Diddy reportedly had second thoughts because he was a Catholic, and he felt the imagery was sacrilegious. Nas's manager, Steve Stout, reportedly agreed to Diddy's request, but a mistake was made when the wrong edit of the video was sent to MTV. The Hate Me Now music video debuted on MTV's Total Request Live on April 15th of 1999, and it contained the crucifixion footage that Diddy wanted deleted. Within minutes of the music video airing, Diddy pulled up on Steve Stout's office in New York with several bodyguards. After storming the building, Diddy allegedly beat Steve Stout bloody with a champagne bottle. In an interview with the LA Times, Stout went into detail about the altercation. Quote, "He punched me in the face and then he grabbed the phone and bashed me in the head with it. I was laying there on the floor bleeding. My jaw and my head were all swollen. I couldn't move my arm. It was a traumatic experience and in the middle of it, I didn't know exactly how to feel. I was upset, embarrassed, scared, and angry. As far as I'm concerned, this was an attempt on my life. The only reason I'm not dead is because they missed." Diddy was arrested on assault charges and faced up to 7 years in prison. But within months, Stout and Diddy reportedly reconciled after Diddy apologized and paid him $500,000. Yo, if you would get your ass beat for $500,000, let me know in the comments. I'm not sure, I'm a good 50-50 on it. I think I would do it, I don't know though. Let me know. Stout asked the prosecutors to drop the assault charges while Diddy pleaded guilty for a misdemeanor harassment crime. Once his felony charges were tossed, Diddy released a statement saying, quote, "I'm glad to get this whole incident behind me, and now it's time for me to do what I do best, concentrate on my album, and give back to my fans." Since his alleged beating at the hands of Diddy, Steve Stout has gone on to become one of hip-hop's most well-known record executives and is currently the CEO of music distribution company United Masters. While there hasn't been any reports of Diddy directly targeting Nas, him delivering a beatdown on his manager definitely sent a message. The same year as Diddy's alleged assault on Steve Stout, he found himself in a scandal that nearly destroyed his career until another rapper allegedly took the fall for him.
So I had nothing to do with Sean Combs' personal life, no interaction. That level, everything was strictly on a professional level.
In 1998, Diddy offered a multi-million five-album contract to the 19-year-old rapper named Shine. At the time, Diddy's record label Bad Boy was still recovering from the untimely death of his flagship artist, the notorious B.I.G. But when Diddy discovered Shine, he saw a golden opportunity because Shine's voice had an uncanny resemblance to the late Biggie Smalls. I mean, when you listen to both these guys side by side, they're almost identical.
Now tell me who on the fuck with us. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, I bang. And let your fucking brain sing, snitches.
Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these niggas think they be macking, but they be acting.
Diddy enlisted Shine to work on the album Born Again, which was the first posthumous Biggie album. And when Born Again dropped in 1999, it seemed like Diddy's bet paid off. The album debuted at number one and moved nearly 500,000 copies in its first week. It was almost like Diddy signed Shine specifically so he could tap into fans' grief over Biggie's murder. But on December 27th of 1999, both Diddy's and Shine's lives changed forever. Shine accompanied Diddy and his then-girlfriend Jennifer Lopez to Club New York, a nightclub in Times Square. While they were there partying, Diddy got into a confrontation with a notorious Brooklyn hustler named Matthew Scar Allen. Witnesses said that Scar not only argued with Diddy, but also threatened to kill Shine. The situation escalated into a shootout that resulted in three bystanders being injured. One of the injured witnesses, Natanya Rubin, was shot in the face, and she insisted that Diddy was the one who fired on her. Shine, Diddy, and Diddy's longtime bodyguard, Anthony Wolf Jones, were all arrested in connection with the shooting, sparking a media frenzy. After a highly publicized 7-week trial, Shine was convicted on assault and weapons charges and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Meanwhile, Diddy and Wolf were both acquitted of all charges and walked free. After being convicted, Shine admitted to being heartbroken and accused Diddy of betraying him. Quote, "I was in a state of denial because I'm such a loyal person. I could understand if I was just another guy, but I'm someone that you groom, somebody that you show the ropes to, and to just leave me hanging there." Diddy denied any wrongdoing, but Shine alleged that his blind loyalty to his label boss is what sent him to prison, and that Diddy set him up to be the fall guy. While Diddy hired high-profile criminal defense attorneys Benjamin Braffman and Johnny Cochran, who was famous for defending OJ just 5 years earlier, Shine was left to fend for himself. He even claimed that his lawyer, Murray Richmond, conspired with Diddy's legal team to put all the blame on him, all so Diddy could get off scot-free. And Shine clearly isn't the only person that feels that way. Just a year after Shine was convicted, Nas released a song Purple where he spoke out about the trial. Quote, "I don't like the way P. Diddy did Shine with different lawyers." After getting out of prison in 2009, Shine claims that Diddy only offered him $50,000 despite all the years he was locked up.
"He's a billionaire. If it wasn't for me, he wouldn't have been a billionaire. If I would have cooperated with the district attorney, he'd have went to jail and heaven knows what would have happened to his career. That's worth at least a couple million dollars out of the billion that you're worth."
I mean, do the math. For 10 years of prison, Diddy barely offered him more than a dollar a day. Since finishing his sentence, Shine has gone on to become a politician in his native country of Belize. But in 2024, after Diddy was arrested by the feds, Shine admitted how he really felt about his former boss, saying,
"This is someone who destroyed my life."
Shine has definitely turned his life around, but he paid a huge cost for being associated with Diddy. With just weeks to go until Diddy's trial, it's only a matter of time before we hear more stories about Sean Combs' alleged victims. Rumors are already flying that what happened to Kid Cudi will play a role in the Fed case against Diddy, but how many of Diddy's other secrets are about to be exposed? We're going to be following every single detail to get to the truth behind the allegations against Sean Combs, so definitely stay locked in because we'll have a lot more coming soon.